Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Visit our Today's Issues Facebook page, and we have the show. We'll have the show up from today. We have everyday shows up there as soon as possible after the program, so you can go back and listen. We also have posted the last hour. We were talking about the NFL football player, Isaiah Crowell. He's a running back for the Cleveland Browns. And he posted, after the Dallas killings of cops, he posted an Instagram of a image of an ISIS-type person, hooded, with a police officer on his knees with his badge on and his blue shirt, and the covered ISIS-type person is slitting the throat of the police officer. That is a message that says, I'm for killing police officers. I identify with that. I don't know how else you interpret that.
No, so, there is no other way.
So what happens, he took it down within, I don't know, minutes, I guess. Ed says his agent probably got on
That's my guess. Or said, somebody close to him said,
somebody
hey,
said, are you crazy?
You're going to lose endorsements. Right. You're going to get in trouble with the NFL.
Right.
And we should say, he did apologize. I watched his apology on his Facebook page.
And after a few days.
Yes, and he has apologized, but that's not the point we're making.
Right, that's really not the point we're making, whether you believe his apology or not. That's a hard thing to to say, my bad.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is more than just a, I'm sorry, I made a mistake.
This is not someone letting a four-letter word slip out during an interview
with women and children.
This is
I'm for the war on cops. Sign me up.
It's a depraved image.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, and it's on our Facebook page. We put it on there so you could see it, Facebook. And we're getting to our point now in a minute. Can God forgive him? Yes. Can people forgive him? Yes. That's not really the question. The question is, what are the consequences of your behavior? And is it equitable compared to what other people get in your same profession who do lesser things?
Right.
For example, we put on there, in comparison to the Miami Dolphins player, Don Jones, isn't that his name?
That's right.
His name. Now, I don't know if he's still with the Dolphins or not, but you remember a couple of years ago, there was the openly homosexual player from the University of Missouri, Michael Sam. Michael Sam was drafted by
The Rams.
Drafted by the St. Louis Rams. And it was a national news story, as you knew it would be, because all the media was just fawning over themselves and clapping and crying because a gay man got drafted. And that's just one of the top 10 things in human history, according to the media. You remember that. And Michael Sam and his lover decided they would show the world their affection for one another by having a mouth-to-mouth kiss, a long kiss mouth-to-mouth in front of the world on national television after he was drafted. Well, the Miami players,
Don Jones.
That was Miami Vice.
Don Johnson. That kind of dates you back to the 80s.
Don Jones tweeted out on his own personal tweet that was horrible. It was horrible. Somebody else tweeted out it was gross. And it was. Yeah. It was gross. And so the NFL came down on him because he just said this is horrible on his own personal
tweet
space. So they said, you will be fined, Mr. Johnson. You will be sent to
be suspended.
You'll be suspended. And you have to go to
sensitivity training.
Sensitivity training.
We call it re-education camp.
You got to go to re-education camp. You can't believe like this.
And you can't play. You can't play for the Miami Dolphins
right.
until you complete your training. That's right.
His livelihood. So you have to ask the question, how is it that you can have your life and your career almost over for just commenting that a two men kissing on national television is gross or horrible, and the NFL comes down on you, and yet we have a NFL player 2 years later here, or 3 years later, who is shown putting an image on his Instagram of a cop having it being beheaded, and he's not fined or suspended or what?
Well, they gave him a good talking to, Tim.
I know.
They gave him a good talking to.
I know. What we're pointing out is a complete and utter double standard here that exists in the NFL. When we say political correctness is corrupting, this is a prime example of what we're talking about here. So imagine for a minute if a white NFL player for the Cleveland Browns had posted an image of a black man wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, and the white man was standing over him with a knife slitting his throat. That was the image that a white football player posted. How long do you think it would take the NFL to respond, Ed? Do you think they would just give him a little
talking? And rightfully so.
He
should be kicked out of the league.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is not the image. And the NFL has gotten into trouble with, you know, so I'm not going to name names because I can't remember all of them, but you know, remember the image of the football player smacking his wife in the elevator?
Yeah.
Punching her, knocking her out.
Ray Rice.
I wasn't sure it was for the Ravens, I thought. Yeah. So dragging her out of the elevator. And you remember how the NFL kind of dawdled, you know, on that? I mean, that should be, you do something like that, you're out of the league. Permanently. And the same thing, the scenario you just mentioned, and then with Isaiah Crowell. You send something like that, and you know what it does? It makes other players remember to not hit send, okay, and not hit your wife. And then you say, if I send this that's questionable, I might get kicked out of the league. So I'm going to ask my friends, should I do it? I'm going to ask my agent, should I send this? That is the deterrent effect of coming down hard on behavior you do not want associated with the National Football League.
Right. And our point is, and you can go see this, we have an action alert and a petition to sign on this, and also to let the NFL know they need to discipline this man, this player. He's not a kid. I keep seeing some of the comments on some of these websites. Oh, he's just a kid. No, he's in his 20s. He's a man. He knew what he was doing. And I'm not, as I said earlier, I'm not saying he can't be forgiven. I understand he's already called the police chief or whatever
in
Cleveland. So he seems remorseful for what he did. You wonder sometimes, is that really him? Or is that his agent saying, you're going to cost us millions if you don't do what I tell you to do? Call the police chief. I'm going to write a press statement for it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, listen, if I rob a liquor store, which I'm not ever going to do, folks, if I rob a liquor store, I can't go to the judge and say, I mean, it's good to say, listen, I have messed up. I am sorry. You know, but there are certain things that are against the societal good that you just can't apologize. There's got to be consequences because the consequences protect the integrity of the value system of society. It is a deterrent effect. So, fine, I'm glad Isaiah Crowell, if he is, you know, being, if he's, this is, you know, a real statement of remorse, good. That I'm glad for him. But the NFL has to have certain standards and has to be certain consequences that protect the rest of us from other people doing things. Because if all you have to do to get away with it is say, I'm sorry, then you cause the decay of society.
Either go to, if you want to read all about this and send this on to your friends and family, people you know, go to AFA.net. It's on the right-hand side of the page, the action alert. It's got the picture of the football player on the front.
Don Jones and Isaiah Crowell, we give you the facts of both of these. And
you say anything critical of an LGBT, you can be kicked out of the NFL, basically. You show a picture of you advocate cop killing, you get a slap on the wrist. That's the message.
Communicated, yeah.
That's what's being communicated right now.
For great irony, you want to know what team Don Jones is on right now? Cleveland Browns.
Browns.
Are you serious?
I just looked it up.
Oh, wow.
Man, I didn't know that.
I didn't either till this morning.
Hey, wanted to bring Alex McFarland in right now. I promised to talk about this poll, and we could talk about it because I promised to. I can't let it go. Dr. Alex McFarland, host of
Exploring the Word.
Well, he might as well be the host of this show. He's on every week.
Amen.
Exploring the Word. Amen. Do you want to be host or amen?
I love being on every week. I truly appreciate it.
Where are you today?
I'm in Colorado up at Summit Ministries. I'm sure you probably know Jeff Meyer.
And yep.
The worldview teaching they do to young people up here. But enjoying listening to you guys talk.
If you just tune in, folks, you're listening to American Family Radio. Today's Issues is the program. And we're on the internet at AFR.net, AFR.net. I'm Tim with Ed and Abe, and Alex McFarland joining us from Colorado. Hey, Alex, why don't you get your thoughts on this? I saw this poll, and polls between now and November are going to go back and forth, probably.
Very volatile.
But yeah, very volatile between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. That's for the presidency, obviously. But this was the first time I had seen this. I'll just read it and get your reaction. It says, I'm reading this from the FoxNews.com website. It says, Donald Trump has pulled ahead of Hillary Clinton in the key battleground state of Florida, and the two presidential rivals are locked in a tight race in swing states, Ohio and Pennsylvania, according to a new poll on Wednesday. Let me read one more paragraph, then you can comment. The Quinnipiac, is that the way you pronounce it?
Quinnipiac.
University poll shows Trump. How do you pronounce it again?
I think it's Quinnipiac, but.
They're never in the top 25.
In the AP.
Huh?
Yeah.
They haven't even sniffed the college football playoffs. But anyway, they have to work on that. This poll shows Trump with a 3-point lead over Clinton, 42-39 in Florida. It's a reversal from just 3 weeks ago when Clinton had an 8-point lead over Trump in the Sunshine State. I guess I had to read that twice, Alex, because that's kind of stunning that Hillary Clinton has lost that much ground to Donald Trump. Do you think this is a result of what happened with her with the FBI more than anything?
Well, yeah. The fact that her husband would have that private meeting at the airport, I think it was in Phoenix, that just really, really smacked of under-the-table dealing. And the fact that, she broke the law.
Yeah.
She broke the law, and yet again, the Clintons have managed to be Teflon, and they live with a different standard than the rest of us have to abide by. And I do think that's just left a very tangible negative impression in the minds of many voters.
So maybe Trump is benefiting. Again, this is polling in July. Okay. So, but Trump is benefiting perhaps from the negative view of Hillary Clinton.
Sure.
You can get votes by what you do, and then you can get votes by what your opponent does or doesn't do. That's just the way it's always been. But Trump also leads in Pennsylvania, 43-41. Of course, these are all within the margin of error. But as we've noted here before, whoever the Republican is, and it's been this way for the last three or four election cycles, has to win, Ed, just about all the swing states. They have to have a clean sweep of especially Florida and Ohio.
Right.
And Pennsylvania, Virginia.
Yeah, I think they have to win three out of those four.
Yeah,
in order to win the
and Trump's
all
leading.
Things being the same.
Yeah,
I mean,
Trump's got a shot at least right now in those states, Alex.
Yeah. You don't go to the White House without Florida. You just don't. You don't go to the White House without Ohio. And the last three elections, I've come to believe, in 2008, John McCain, in 2012, Mitt Romney, and now with Donald Trump. It's less about who the candidate is and more about Christians getting out to vote. And I know, I think all of us on this call were at the meeting in New York City three and a half weeks ago. And, Barna says with the 65 to 100 million Christians, even if we take 25 million of those that, you know, could have voted but didn't in the last two elections, look, we could have this. And again, I would implore and ask that people pray for America, but be registered and go vote. And, you know, hey, if it were up to me, the nominees would be, you know, Billy Graham and James Dobson. But given the two that we have got, and thinking about the Supreme Court nominees, thinking about just our relationship with Israel and the, you know, so many issues, it's not going to be a hard decision. You know, yeah. In a perfect world, we would always have a Reagan, you know, to vote for. But
yeah.
Given the choices we've got, I would just beg that Christians pray and go vote.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, the Christian turnout is going to be big, Abe. And but it's going to be big to see what they do. I don't necessarily, it's going to be important. And it's sort of Donald Trump is trying to woo the Christians who are against him in the primary season or mm-hmm. skeptical of him post-primary season. He met with 1,000 Christian leaders in New York City, to his credit, I think.
Yeah, I think that was a good move.
On his behalf. And he's surrounded by a lot of godly men. I know that for a fact. Donald Trump, I'm talking about. So
yeah.
I think his VP choice is going to be an important thing.
I hope he waits to the convention. I think he will build some drama. Yeah, build some drama, and you don't want people, you know, nitpicking your VP choice the week before the convention. That's the kind of thing you don't want, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Let me just say, we know Robert Jeffers of First Baptist Dallas, who Mr. Trump has brought close to his side. James Robison, who's a very godly man. I'm sure many have seen him on TV.
Mike Huckabee?
Leader yesterday. Pardon?
Mike Huckabee,
Ben Carson. I mean, there are some major, well-trusted, rock-solid, godly people that have been brought into the inner circle of Donald Trump. That's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, and I've told people that. I was doing a conference call last night with a lot of our supporters here at American Family Association, and the 90% of them who were surveyed wanted to know about the Trump meeting in New York mm-hmm. and what we thought about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And one dear lady called from North Carolina, Alex's home state, and she said, I'm just torn up about who to vote for. Not that she would vote for Clinton, but should she vote at all? Given the fact that she said Donald Trump is arrogant, pompous, and doesn't have many fruits of the Spirit, and to which there was silence because there's not much arguing with the fact that's his persona. Whether he's like that in person or not, that's his persona. Now, some of that, I think, is, how do I put it, tough guy image. Apprentice, you're fired, I'm in charge, take care of business, mm-hmm. those kinds of, and a lot of that appeals to a lot of people. People want a strong person.
Especially now.
In the White House, who's not going to vacillate and, you know, not going to subscribe to political correctness and things of that nature. Now, I made the point last night, though, Ed, you were on with me, and talking about Donald Trump. There's two things I think that people need to consider about him that I think work in his favor from a Christian view trying to consider whether to vote. I told the caller, I said, listen, I'm not going to criticize you for how you feel mm-hmm. on this because a lot of people are conflicted on this.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I would say take a look at it. Consider this. Number one is one of the top three things that a president will do is appoint judges,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not talking about just Supreme Court justices. I'm talking about federal judges all over the land who serve lifetime appointments. I said the next president will appoint 2, 3, 4 Supreme Court justices, and it will change the look of the court for a generation.
Right.
Hillary Clinton will put more far, far left justices on the Supreme Court, and it'll be lost for our lifetime.
Yeah,
that is just a fact. That
and
is
and our
just
kids,
a,
our kids'
that
lifetime
just,
too.
So that's the first thing. All right. Now, whether Donald Trump, he said he's committed to appoint the judges who believe in the Constitution and interpreting the law, and he's even used the term pro-life. Those are his words to us at that meeting in New York. Now, is he lying? Well, guess what? It wouldn't be the first time a politician has lied to me. Okay? Okay? Wow. Wouldn't be the first time. So I don't know until the moment of truth for him.
Right.
Should he become president. But I would say right now I would give him the benefit of the doubt on this, because that's a pretty serious commitment in front of the world to make that he made. It's kind of like build a fence.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, when we were in the meeting in New York, and this was his word, this is about 99% verbatim, but he said, regarding our relationship with Israel, he said, not only is Israel our longest friend in the Middle East, they're our only friend in the Middle East. Mm. Now, I'm glad he gets that.
Yeah, exactly. And one other point that I wanted to make about, and I mentioned this on the call last night, and I've said it before here. What a lot of people don't think about is that whoever the president is can use the power of the executive branch, Abe, to execute their mission or their purpose or their agenda. We've seen this with President Obama over and over and over again, from the IRS going after the Tea Party movement and conservative groups, to the Justice Department telling schools around the country they must welcome men into women's into girls' restrooms and locker rooms or else potentially lose federal funding. The agenda of the secular progressives and Obama have been relentless against the Christian worldview, I would say. And I don't think, let me, Abe, you come in and then Alex can if we have time. I don't think a Trump administration would use the power of the federal government to come after us.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate assessment.
But I think the Clinton administration would. So it's sometimes it's do less harm.
I think she might even see her election as a mandate.
Oh.
To attack her political.
Well, why wouldn't you?
And listen, you've got to go on chances are, okay, X, Y, Z. Because you could say, well, maybe Hillary Clinton gets elected. She may have lied to all of her secular progressive supporters. Maybe she will appoint or nominate really conservative justices. Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Are you trying to make me spit out my tea?
No, that's why I'm using hyperbole for the purpose. You got to go based on, you have to. The only option you have is to vote on track record and what people say, because the fact of the matter is, if you're going to say, well, what if Donald Trump lied to us? Well, what if Hillary Clinton lied to her side? You can't vote based on that, because one absurdity might be the same same chance as the other absurdity. You've got to base it on what they've said, because none of us has a glimpse into their heart.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for being on with us.
God bless you. Hope to see you next Wednesday.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. Yeah, well, let's pray for our country, and Lord knows we need it. Lord knows we need the Lord.
Yes.
Right.
The best thing to do is have everybody get born again.
That's right.
That'd pretty much solve all our
evangelist lives matter.
Yeah, man. That's right. Everybody gets born
evangelical lives
everybody
matter.
Everybody gives their life to the Lord and live right, love other people. We'd be a lot better off. Amen.
In favor of that.
All right, folks. Have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio. We'll see you next time.